RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
They're overexposing the eclipses here. They got to space them out. It's like we were laughing during the game last night. They called one of the UConn players a generational player, which is a term that the NFL throws this around. Like, he's a generational player, which is once in a generation. Like, only once in a generation does a player come along like this. Except they're calling the UConn women's player a generational player. She's on the same court as Caitlin Clark. Like, she's not even the most generational player on the court right now.
Yeah.
Let alone, you can't, that word doesn't mean what you think it means. That's, it, when Chase Young was chosen number two by the Washington, you know, I guess he was picked as a Redskin, started playing as a football teamer. It ended up as a Commander before he left. It's Chase Young. You have to take him. He's a generational player. Okay, then why is he going number two in the draft instead of number one? Yeah. It feels like any generational player should be number one in the draft.
Yeah.
By definition.
I agree.
Chase Young. How could you not take Chase Young? Well, whoever picked first didn't take Chase Young. Something to think about as you sort out who's generational and who's not generational. But John Calipari will reportedly have $5 million a year in NIL money to work with to recruit his team at Arkansas, which is a lot of NIL money. He'll be competitive, and he'll be competitive quickly there. But you know what the big thing was yesterday. Big thing was women's basketball. South Carolina, rough start, but corrected it pretty quickly. Took care of business against Iowa.
It is perfection for South Carolina. 38 games, 38 wins, and their third national championship. South Carolina 87, Iowa 75. 2024 is absolutely perfect for Dawn Staley and South Carolina. They are the women's basketball national champions.
That was a great game. And what a tournament front to back. Last three Iowa games, right? The UConn game and then the LSU game. Just absolutely lived up to the hype in every possible way. Very rarely do you get an event that hyped that ends up being that good in reality. And certainly it helped that Iowa went out to their 10-0 start. It helped that Caitlin Clark kept them in it there in the fourth quarter when it looked like it was about to get out of hand. But Dawn Staley coaches the best team in America. We'll take a victory lap because this show rides with Dawn Staley, as you know. I think what impressed me was both Caitlin Clark and Dawn Staley, different people, very different people in a lot of ways, both on this big stage, watched by millions of people in this absolute grinder of a tournament that lasts for 3 weeks and is exhausting, both just stayed authentically themselves the whole way, which is so hard to do, to not become somebody else or you know, be transformed by that pressure. Both just stayed themselves. Dawn Staley coached a great game, was awesome in the post game. Caitlin Clark was so good through the whole tournament, kept making shots. I don't know what her final numbers were, but it, I mean, 17 points right out of the gate. At one point late in the fourth quarter, I know was shooting 44% from behind the arc, which actually isn't even like a great number for her. It's just a great number for every other human on the planet. But it was so good. And here's Caitlin Clark after the game. This is a long cut here. Let's play it in full because I think this is just really sharp. This is Caitlin Clark like an hour after she loses the national championship game, giving some really good perspective.
You know, we truly have each other's back. Maybe we weren't always the most skilled. Maybe we weren't always the tallest. Maybe we weren't always the fastest. But we just believed. We knew we could be in these moments. We trusted one another. And that took, you know, a couple years to get to that point. And, you know, there's been so many great Iowa women's basketball players that come before us and, you know, allow this program to be really, really good when, you know, Kate and I and everybody else stepped on campus. And I feel like we took it to a whole nother level. And I feel like our program is in really good hands moving forward. And I think more than anything, yeah, people will probably remember our, you know, two Final Fours and things like that. But people aren't going to remember every single win or every single loss. I think they're just going to, you know, remember the moments that they shared at one of our games or watching on TV or, you know, how excited their young daughter or son got about, you know, watching women's basketball. I think that's pretty cool. And that's, you know, those are the things that mean the most to me when people come up to me and, you know, I don't really get offended when people say, I've never watched women's basketball before. I think, you know, one, you're a little late to the party, yes, but two, like, that's cool. Like, you know, we're changing the game, we're attracting more people to it. But at the same time, like, those little things are just, you know, I think the moments that we'll remember for forever.
Absolutely. And what great perspective from Caitlin Clark, who knew the spotlight she was bringing into the sport and into women's basketball. And we haven't seen the numbers yet, but a lot of people watched that basketball game yesterday. We'll dive into how badly ESPN and ABC botched that. We can do that in the next segment. Because I also want to take a... Caitlin Clark, like, got a lot of... One thing I do want to talk about is all the WNBA players who lined up to be like, ah, Caitlin Clark ain't all that. Like, we're going to take care of her. I do want to take that on. I don't want to take on this thing of like, well, Caitlin Clark couldn't hang in the NBA. Like, no, she couldn't. That's why there's a WNBA. Like, that's a stupid thing to say, like, about a person who's amazing at what she does. Like, of course she can't. It's the NBA. This is the WNBA. I do think Caitlin Clark will be very, very good in the WNBA, though. Dawn Staley, after winning the title, gave her a shout-out from the podium after raising the trophy.
And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport. And it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's going to lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. That we appreciate you.
She was out there. She heard. She was appreciative. Dawn Staley, after winning the title. The list of people who can, like, knowledgeably comment on what Caitlin Clark's up against is very small and includes Dawn Staley. Like, she's on that list. She knows what Caitlin Clark's up against. The Dawn Staley resume now is insane. 3 Olympic gold medals, 2-time National Player of the Year at UVA, 6-time WNBA All-Star, 3 national championships now as a coach. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. 2 of the last 3 national titles have only lost 3 games in the last 3 years. She's got it rolling at South Carolina. The big question to me, right, can women's basketball sustain this? Are people still going to be women's basketball fans after Caitlin Clark? Yeah, because the product's better than ever. Honestly, the real threat here is that South Carolina gets too good. Right, in the same way that UConn's steamrolling people in the men's, I think the men's ratings will be down because these games have been so boring. I think you're going to see South Carolina needs a competitor. They need somebody to step up and be in that echelon with them. UConn was running the show for a while in the women's with Gina Auriemma, of course. Dominance is fun, but they're going to need a foil. Somebody's going to need to step up and hang with them, because I think everybody's coming back from that team. I think there was just one senior on that South Carolina team. None of their starters were on the team last year. Dawn Staley just reloads and put on a masterclass. I mean, that team was dominant throughout the whole tournament. Congrats to her. Congrats to South Carolina. Congrats to Caitlin Clark, who put on a great show and a great moment for women's basketball. We'll step aside. We'll be back off and running on a Monday morning, taking you up to noon. AWOD's out at Capitol Ale House. We're right here holding it down in the studio. We'll both be out at the Diamond tomorrow for Flying Squirrels opening day. We'll give you the Flying Squirrels update, but not before we patch up why the broadcast was so badly botched yesterday by ESPN and how Caitlin Clark will do in the WNBA. That's on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Monday Fun Day. Hazel's here. Megan's here. It's 10:19. It's Monday, April 8th. Thanks for taking a ride with us. MP on the mic. The eclipse peak here is at 3:19, but you can book it. We've reached peak absurdity right now at 10:19 a.m. This article from NPR, How to Keep Pets Safe During the Solar Eclipse. This is Dr. Rena Carlson. She's the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, weighing in on how to keep your pet safe if they view the eclipse.
I'm glad we got an expert to weigh in on this.
We need an expert. Your dog should not look directly at the sun, just to be clear, unless they have glasses, which would be weird.
To be fair, I have a dog that would look directly at the sun.
Needs glasses. So.
The first step is to decide whether your pet should come with you to the eclipse viewing or not. Megan, are you taking notes here?
Okay,
most of the time, Carlson says, the answer is no. It's quite an amazing phenomenon for us to experience, but that can be pretty stressful when dogs are with large crowds and a lot of noise and they don't understand the excitement. They're going to be nervous about what's going on and how should I react. Mm. They're better off at home in their natural environment. Don't worry about them being stressed out by the eclipse. Quote, they're just going to think it's a normal day where you're gone. The Pet Society recommends keeping pets busy with a food puzzle toy or other form of enrichment while you're away.
I mean, the food puzzle toy sounds like legit. That sounds fun.
Yeah, you keep me inside. Yeah. Give me a food puzzle toy. I don't need to look at the sun. I'm good with a food puzzle toy. Any human who needs to look directly at the eclipse, of course, needs the special sunglasses. Pets, however, do not. Carlson says, quote, they're outside every day and they don't look at the sun, so there's no reason to think they're going to at this point.
But they sell the glasses online. Like, we were just looking at the pictures.
Wait, they sell dog glasses
they
online?
They do.
No, they don't.
Yes, the pictures are fabulous.
Oh, no.
They're adorable. It's just like these big, like, goggle things you put over their head.
Oh, no.
They look like snowboarding goggles?
Yeah. So if you want to say safely take your dog to the eclipse, I'm not saying you should, but there are glasses.
That is. I'm like, should I spend the 99 cents and buy the glasses for myself? At no point was I like, should I spend the $25.99 and buy the dog eclipse glasses?
Yep.
They got different colors.
They do.
I'm gonna leave my dog out of it. They have different colors. Oh.
Different colors,
oh,
different
okay.
styles.
This dog looks really happy.
He's looking at the eclipse.
He's watching an eclipse. Yeah. Why wouldn't he look great? It's the dog has eclipse glasses. I mean,
what more could he ask for?
What's next? We've got time to continue to lower the bar here. We've got a few hours. We'll chase that. A couple months ago, I was like, I should go somewhere and see the eclipse. And then, like, if you weren't on this like years ago, no chance you're going anywhere to see the eclipse. But now you know how to keep your dog safe.
Now you know.
Food,
the more you know.
Food chew toy.
Food chew toy.
We're here to.
I was hoping you'd do that.
We're here to inform. We're here to educate. We're here to let you know. I'll be picking up my kids from school because, unlike Chesterfield, we're going to go the whole day because we're not scared by a little eclipse action here in Richmond. You're on notice, Chesterfield.
Oh,
three hours early today for the eclipse. If you're not getting the whole thing, it's less impressive. Like, Hazel's got the glasses. Hazel's going to go watch this for real, like with the glasses. But if you don't have the glasses, you're not going to be wowed by the non-total eclipse.
Yeah, I don't have the glasses, and I'll be at my second job, so I'll probably just see it get dark outside the window and then get light again, and that's just my experience. Which it'll still be neat, but...
It'll still be neat. We've got an eclipse playlist here at Odyssey.
So free Odyssey app.
On the free Odyssey app, you can get the eclipse playlist. I want to know, what is it like, songs about the sun and moon? Pull that up. See what's on the eclipse play. Obviously, Total Eclipse of the Heart, so that's an easy one. Mm-hmm. That's your lead off on the eclipse playlist. I can't think of a second song that references eclipses, though, and suns and moons and all those things.
Maybe something from Eclipse in the Twilight series.
Ooh, I don't know. I've never seen Twilight.
You've never seen Twilight?
I've never seen Twilight. It's a blind spot for me.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm also a no on Hunger Games. Never seen it.
Oh, yeah. I never did watch that.
But we were in Atlanta one year, and they were filming at the hotel we were at.
Now that's cool.
Grant Paulson hosts Grant and Danny on The Fan, 3 to 6 every night here. Grant and I were in Atlanta. Yeah. We're at the hotel. We're at the bar. Like, I mean, just piles of equipment are everywhere. And, you know, what's going on here? Oh, the Hunger Games is filming here. And Grant's like, wait, is that with Jennifer Lawrence? And the bartender is like, yeah, she's here.
Oh, my gosh.
And Grant was like, we're staying at this bar until we see Jennifer Lawrence.
Did y'all see her?
No.
Just that, imagine you're
actually,
he's still there.
We're actually seeing, Grant is actually still at the bar. He does Grant and Danny live from the Marriott Marquis in downtown Atlanta.
What is that,
every single day?
That Taylor Swift song, Right Where You Left Me. Still at the restaurant.
Still at the restaurant, just waiting for Jennifer Lawrence to drop by. Couldn't get a Jennifer Lawrence sighting on that trip. Yeah, it's a lot.
Sad.
That hotel though is crazy. It's like 40 stories tall. And it's a clear elevator, so you like go shooting up the elevator.
Ooh,
and it's like you can see.
That's cool.
It's like an amusement park ride. They should charge you to go on the elevator.
No, don't do that. Although it does sound really cool.
Do we have an eclipse playlist? Any progress on getting an eclipse playlist here?
We do.
Oh, okay. What's on an eclipse playlist? Since we're down this road, I said we weren't going to do eclipse bits today, but then they had the dog glasses, and I had to change my mind for the dog glasses. Like, that was too good not to. So that this is the only eclipse bits of the day right here.
All
we're
right.
Making that promise.
We got Here Comes the Sun.
Okay, sure. Okay. Beatles, sure. Okay.
Blinding Lights by The Weeknd.
Mm. Okay.
Gravity, John Mayer.
No.
Yeah.
Brain right. Damage / Eclipse by Pink Floyd. Very specific.
Very okay. specific. All right. If you listen to it backwards while with The Wizard of Oz, sorry. What's our Taylor Swift?
7. You know that one, Megan?
You're going to need to take us down this road here, yeah.
Yeah, I need to look those lyrics up again.
The blurb says, this is a perfect opportunity to tell your eclipse buddy, love you to the moon and to Saturn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right.
Such Great Heights by the Postal Service.
It's a great song, so I'll allow it. That's we're kind of going into love songs now, I've noticed.
Yeah,
we are.
More than eclipse songs.
I'll bring you back The Sound of Silence.
Not a love song.
I like that one. That was
Ray
good.
Of Light by Madonna.
And okay. I feel like I just got hope. Yeah, okay.
Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
like
an
that
old
one.
School one, yeah.
Yeah. Who else do we have?
Yeah.
Starman, David Bowie.
All right. I'll allow it.
Some good ones.
Odyssey coming through. It's the free Odyssey app. That gives us a chance to say download it. It's in the Google Play Store. It's on the Apple App Store. It's the free Odyssey app, and it's got the Eclipse playlist. Once you're done with this show, once you're done with AWOD Radio, slide on over. You can grab the AWOD's done at 3. He'll get outside at Capitol Hill House there in time to see the eclipse if he wants to. I don't know if it's burger night, though. So sometimes, you know, burger night's that's the food chew toy for adults, basically. Yeah. So don't take your dog outside. But if you do, they're probably not going to look at the sun. There's your official eclipse advice.
And don't stare at the sun. Download the free Odyssey app.
Don't stare at the sun unless you have the glasses. That's the end of Eclipse Bits for the day. That's my promise to you. When we come back, you'll hear more from Caitlin Clark after a wild basketball game yesterday. And WNBA players sure don't like that she's coming to the WNBA. We'll take that on as well. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Monday morning, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Did you watch the basketball game yesterday? Yeah, I think a lot of people did. It'll be the most watched women's basketball game of all time. It won't be particularly close. I love a good daytime start, too. That's the key. That's what the NFL's gotten right for all these years. Men's title game tonight, 9:20 p.m. tip-off. No kids watching that. I'll watch. I'll stay up. But no kids are going to be watching at 9:20 p.m. They're not going to be awake for the finish. That's how you hook the next generation of fans, right? The NFL's figured that out for a while. Ask a kid what their favorite moment from the NBA Finals is. Well, they don't have one. The games start at 9 p.m. What's their favorite World Series moment? They're not growing up with these games. Love a good afternoon game. And, of course, Sunday afternoon on TV, it's going to smash all the viewership records. Awad and I were texting. He says 30 million. I put my initial guess at about 22 million. I think it's probably somewhere between the two. I'd take the under on his and the over on mine. Previous most watched women's basketball game, 14 million. So it's got a chance to fully double it up. But it had everything, and it was a close game, and it played to the finish. But ABC, who is the least committed network to sports, right? And it makes sense. NBC has a lot of sports. CBS has a ton of sports. They own that Sunday afternoon time slot. They'll have the Masters this week. We'll all take a very nice nap to the Masters, then wake up in time for the end in 60 minutes. It'll be seen in its entirety after the game. All the other networks have had lots of sports over the years, but not ABC because they are owned by Disney, which owns ESPN. So all the sports end up on ESPN. But this game ended up on ABC. Apparently, ABC would not allow the game to start later because they did not want to disrupt primetime programming on ABC. And so they're doing the trophy presentation. They're you know, Dawn Staley's saying her thing, and then we're gonna cut down the nets, and then it cuts to an infomercial abruptly with no explanation. Now this is if it does the numbers we're talking about, if 25 million people watch this game, which does not feel outrageous, like this is, we're in NFL playoff numbers territory. When's the last time they ended an NFL playoff game by abruptly cutting to an infomercial? People hang around. People hang around and watch NFL games, the post game, the interviews, all the things. They had a chance to do that here. They had a chance to maximize that audience. They had a great studio team. L. Duncan was leading the group for ESPN. It was a chance to showcase with a lot of people watching the best. And instead, they cut to an infomercial because they couldn't disrupt Sunday night ABC programming. Right? And so if you're going to have a big game, you've got to rise to that occasion. You've got to give me what I want to see. I was fascinated. I would have watched post-game coverage. I would have watched whatever it was. Now, they moved it over to ESPN. They didn't announce that in any way. Now, I think a lot of it, too, is local ABC didn't have news last night. Nobody was sitting at the news desk ready to give the news. So I think it just automated, clicked over to what you know, the infomercial, the Sunday night, whatever was next. But it's a bad look when you have the biggest women's basketball event of all time and you abruptly end it to go to an infomercial. That's a tough look. So I looked up what was so important in their Sunday night schedule that they could not possibly have gone late with the broadcast to allow more time. And it was a blowout game, too. If it's a close game, were we going to cut away from the game? If the game went to overtime, were we going to leave the game over to ESPN? It's possible. Here's what couldn't be moved on ABC last night to make room for the biggest women's basketball game of all time. America's Funniest Home Videos was at 7 o'clock. I did not know that was still a thing, America's Funniest Home Videos. That obviously, Bob Saget back in the day, that was a cultural institution. Now, to me, America's Funniest Home Videos now, Stubbs joining us here, AWOD's producer, I'm glad Stubbs in here. To me, that's just like what we see on Instagram Reels and on TikTok now, right?
Michael, I have great news for you. You're going to eat this up.
I
was on America's Funniest Home Videos.
I am going to eat this up. He's correct. You were on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
We mailed in a VHS tape to America's Funniest Home Videos back in the day, but were not selected for air.
Yeah, my dad sent in a DVD. Put me on air.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
What'd you do?
I had a little, like, big wheel trike thing.
Okay.
You know, like, low, two in the back, one big one in the front.
Yeah.
And there was a creek in our neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
I was like, I could jump that creek.
Ah, Evel Knievel.
And my dad looked at his 8-year-old son and said, he could definitely jump that creek. There was no ramp, right? Like, it was just like, it was at the bottom of a valley, essentially.
Okay.
This creek. So I went down. The wheel got caught, and it kind of launched me face first directly into the very small creek on a cold December day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And he just filmed through it.
Yep. He's cackling at the top of the hill. Like, he's dying of laughter at what happened as I, like, kind of, like, pull myself out and, like, do, like, a little, like, waddle because my pants are soaking wet.
That's a classic of the genre for America's Funniest Home Videos. Is there, you know, kid falls while the parents are laughing. Number two, guy gets hit in the nuts.
I got paid $700.
For being on America's Funniest Home Videos?
Well, I was on two shows.
Wow.
There was another show that was hosted by Bill Engvall, the country comedian, called Country Fried Home Videos, which was the same thing, but he hosted.
But with country
they
music.
So AFV paid me $200. Bill Engvall paid me $500 because they made a whole segment of motorcycle crashes based, like, they led in with mine. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, here's little Chris all grown up. And then it was a bunch of motorcycle crashes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? You were the lead into the motorcycle
crashes. I was, so they paid me $500.
I would guess they've got just thousands of tapes that have been submitted over the years. They probably don't even need to be sourcing out fresh material. They just, the archives there at America's Funniest Home Videos have got to be deep, deep. After America's Funniest Home Videos, they had 2 hours of American Idol. Definitely could not have shrunk American Idol from 2 hours to make room for the biggest women's basketball game of all time. And then from 10 to 11, they aired What Would You Do? Now, I've never seen... Hazel, you both gave a quick...
I like that show.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. What happens on What Would You Do? Is this like a candid camera style thing?
Yeah. What would you do? They do something completely unhinged that someone would never do in public. And then they're like, what would people do?
Description of last night's episode, a man relies on his older girlfriend for money.
Sounds about right. Probably in a restaurant. He's like, I want more. I see it happening. Yeah, you can see the episode.
There you go. Well, that's ABC Sunday night. None of that was possibly movable. We had to get America's Funniest Home Videos on the air in its entirety instead of airing post-game from the biggest women's basketball game of all time. All right, here's Caitlin Clark on the decision. She made the decision before the tournament, right? She had the COVID year. She's not coming back for the COVID year. She'll be in the WNBA draft. She'll be the first pick from Indiana by the Indiana team. And here she is on that decision and what it meant for yesterday, knowing this would be her final game.
The decision of whether I was going pro or whether I was staying at Iowa never was something that I stressed on too much. I knew it was something that would become clear to me over time. But I think for me is like, you know, I know what's next is soon. But at the same time, like, I'm not blind to the fact that I need to enjoy this. I need to soak this in and enjoy these last few moments with my teammates because these are some of my best friends. They'll be my best friends for the rest of my life. And that's what matters to me the most.
That's Caitlin Clark on this being her final year. All right. Here's the thing about the WNBA. A lot of Caitlin Clark hostility over the last week. Now, some would say that's the WNBA growing into itself as a league because there is a time-honored tradition in the NBA of old players dismissing young players as just hype or not all. Like, remember LeBron came out and he'll never be as good as Jordan. Like, why bother? Like, we've got Kobe. Don't even bother coming. The old player, like, I mean, Jordan made a whole documentary to undercut LeBron. Like, this is a proud NBA tradition of guys talking about how the kids ain't got nothing. Here's Diana Taurasi. She's a very good basketball player. She says Caitlin Clark got nothing on these WNBA girls.
Reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period where you're going to have to give yourself some grace as a rookie. You know, it might take a little bit longer for some people.
They're all going to be so happy with the first night she scores like 4 points. Like, it's going to be the ultimate victory. We told you we were awesome and she's not awesome. Like, okay, so here's the thing. They are half correct. Caitlin Clark is an insane scorer at the college level, right? She makes every shot she takes, basically. And she will be guarded tougher by taller women at the pro level. She will not be as good of a scorer. And if that's where it ended... that's where it ends, and this is a correct take, right? Like, she doesn't have a mid-range game. She's only at the basket. She can't be at the basket in the WNBA. She'll get blocked every time. She can shoot her crazy threes, right? She can do her Steph Curry thing. That'll play. But on the whole, she's just got the one trick. The thing, though, is she's the best passer I've ever seen in my life, men or women. She's going to lead the WNBA in assists her first year because that does translate. Her ability to see the court, her ability to put the ball right on her teammates' hands. And her Iowa teammates are like fumbling every time they catch the ball. And like, she puts the ball in like the perfect place for you to catch it and get a layup. Her teammates are going to love her first year in the WNBA. She may not be a great scorer. That assist work, that stuff translates. Like, she will absolutely be the assist queen in the WNBA really, really quickly. And that's... everybody's like, oh, she makes the long shot. She does the Steph Curry thing. She's a better passer than she is shooter. She's a phenomenal passer, and that will translate to the next level. Now, look, that's a time-honored tradition. Kids ain't got nothing. Kids these days are soft. We're awesome. They're not awesome. But they got to watch out, because that her passing will absolutely translate to the next level and will absolutely help her be a star in the WNBA right away and lift that league as well, as Dawn Staley mentioned earlier. All right, so we had a caller give us another song here on the Eclipse playlist. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What are we adding to the playlist?
Invisible Sun by The Police.
That's a good one. That's a good one for the Eclipse playlist. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's pretty solid. Thank you, Chris.
Please, if your dogs go out, please make sure they're wearing special glasses.
Goggles on.
The whole article, protect your dogs, keep them inside, get them going. But also, if they go outside, they probably won't look at the sun because dogs never do. There's your advice. We're back with more. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. All right, I've seen it. I've seen the clip of Stubb on America's Funniest Home Videos. Megan's seen it. Hazel's seen it. Monday Funday crew's all here. They've all seen it. That's a 10 out of 10 as America's Funniest Home Videos clips go. Instant class. Yeah. On his tricycle, head face first into the creek.
Yep.
Oh, that's the stuff. That's the stuff winners are made of. And finished second place on Country Fried Home Videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
The whole segment.
He was on two clip-based shows. Mm. I mean, we all knew Stubb was famous. Everywhere we go in the community, where's Stubb? Why isn't Stubb here? Well, he's not just with me all day, but I mean, this just adds to the lore of Stubb, as far as I'm concerned. We're watching rugby on TV. This has been, I don't think I've ever watched a full rugby game. It's violent, it's crazy. DC's got a rugby team now. They show it on the old Monumental Network. You watch the Junkies there every morning as well. This is wild. This is crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I got to go to a rugby match now.
100%.
I've said it twice, but it's just a pile of humans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They get in the pile and then they just push each other. That's the sport. This makes football look like golf.
It does.
Oh, this makes everything look tame. Roller derby, I would say, is at this level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get after each other.
They're crazy.
They're crazy. These guys are crazy. There's a small number of sports in that realm.
Very intense. I'm also not completely sure how the scoring works.
Nobody is.
Yeah.
Nobody is. Yeah. Even they aren't. Yeah.
Even they aren't.
Someday they hope to know.
The refs are pointing in a direction. We're not going that direction.
The sport that has the most unintelligible rules is field hockey. I don't know if you've ever participated in a field hockey game. Every once in a while, the ref blows her whistle. Everybody runs a different direction. Nobody's entirely sure why. That's field hockey. There's a reason. There's a foul or a something. But everybody's in the pack and moving around, and it's kind of a big stampede that switches directions occasionally every now and then.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the sport. That's how it goes. UVA sending out congratulations to the GOAT today from their official account, Dawn Staley, 3-time national champ Debbie Ryan, who coached Dawn Staley in college. I am uber proud of Dawn Staley and the USC Gamecocks. Dawn managed this year like a master architect. She is so unique and loves her players, and I think that's the consensus. Wish she were at UVA doing that, but we've boarded that ship already. It's sailed. She's at South Carolina. She's dominant. I think a lot of America got to see why we love her so much yesterday after the game. Stubb also gave us a full hot take before he left. Not to make this a full Stubb segment, but I mentioned Megan's never been on an airplane before.
Yes.
And Stubb was like, I love airplanes. You can hit all the buttons. So I'm unclear if Stubb is flying the plane or just passengering the plane.
Don't let him into the cockpit.
I've been on a lot of airplanes. At no point have I been like, well, the best thing about this is you get to press all the buttons. It's not the experience I get. I guess when you're on JetBlue, you get the TV, you get the remote.
Mm.
But that, sure. So I have this. I don't think he was referring to that, though.
No, he definitely was poking up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I love getting the ginger ale. Now, I'll be on a plane Wednesday night, but I'll be on Spirit, so I'm not getting a ginger ale.
No.
That's like $7.
A water.
I'm not getting a... You think I'm getting a water? I don't have that kind of money. I got local radio money. I ain't got a... No. I ain't got water on Spirit Airlines kind of money. No, you know, we got that kind of money. It's, you, the game is, the ticket's $19. I'm going down to, flying to Orlando, and you get a backpack or smaller for free. But if you want to bring a carry-on, $55. Mm. Checked luggage now, $50. That's the game. As a guy who's doesn't have a lot of stuff, this is, I was built for this game. I get a whole backpack? What will I do with the extra space? Meanwhile, the ladies in the audience are like, yeah. you can't do it.
No, you can't.
You can't, it's go impossible. Somewhere.
Okay, look. You can't, I can go somewhere fit with the backpack. A lot into a small space. So yeah. Like maybe if I was going down for like the weekend, I might be able to get away with it. But like if I was going like a week trip down to Florida or something, yeah. No way.
But you, that's want ridiculous. Your first trip to be international. You're
I
going
do.
You're going the distance here. You're yeah. going you're going to Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of, so I want to go to like South Korea or Japan. I want to go to both.
I don't think the discount carriers fly there.
Yeah.
You can get to Europe for cheap. You can fly on the, what's the, Wizz Air.
Oh, okay.
You have to That's stop fun. In Iceland. That's okay. The rule. So you fly to Iceland, okay. Hang out for a while, and then you fly. And like, it, so the taxes are what gets you. Like the yeah. tax to fly to Europe is like $200, but they waive it in Iceland because they want tourists.
Oh, so okay. You, they, that's something to
you know, it's like $99 for the flight. We had when yeah. we went to Portugal. That was the deal. Like they were just so desperate for people to go to Portugal, they just waived all the fees and taxes, and they're like, "Yeah, we're just happier here in Portugal."
Well, see, the bad thing with like the luggage and stuff, I know I'm like me personally, I'm gonna have to have like an empty suitcase just for souvenirs.
Oh, that you're I'm bringing that back? Too. Yeah. Well, you would go all that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A guy I follow who I love, who's based out of Toronto. He's in Japan right now,
yeah.
And he's been sending back like pictures of all the like shops he's at. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'd be full empty suitcase there.
Oh,
too.
Dude, like
absolutely.
The majority of my money is gonna go to souvenirs and food.
All right. We've spent a ton of time on this women's basketball game. Haven't really touched the men. Let's do that when we slide back because it's national championship night. They're playing for a title tonight. I'll tell you who I like on the other side. 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Taking this show on the road tomorrow. We'll be out at the Diamond. You know the Diamond, big concrete building right off the highway. Flying Squirrels home opener tomorrow night. The action, of course, starts in the evening. We'll be out there 10 to noon. AWOD Radio, noon to 3. AWOD on the road today as well. He's out at Capitol Ale House for Richmond's OG Burger Night. It has returned. So we're excited to be out there. But every day, we'll tell you how the Flying Squirrels did in the Flying Squirrels update. That's literally the most excitement the baseball has ever generated right there. That's it.
I love it.
There's no chance that any update I ever give could live up to that enthusiasm. No,
their music is so hype.
They're so hype. Man, like Nutsy himself, like on the keyboard, like just banger after banger. Absolutely.
Have fun, go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. We had the guy who wrote the song on the show last year. Yeah.
A celeb.
Yeah, an actual local celeb. He writes jingles and stuff.
That's
locally.
So cool.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, that's, but like, it's one of those things where like, after you write that, you might as well just retire.
It's all downhill from there.
It's all downhill from there. The Flying Squirrels Saturday night got their first win of the 2024 season. 13-3 up at Somerset against the baby Yankees there in New Jersey. Christian Kosk, single, triple, home run. Jimmy Glowinki, four hits. Hunter Bishop, his first double-A home run. 13-3 win for the Flying Squirrels at TD Bank Ballpark. Things did not go as well yesterday for the Flying Squirrels. It 1-0 after six innings, but they the Patriots of Somerset opened it up after that, finished with an 8-0 win. Ryan Murphy made his season debut on the mound for the Squirrels through three innings, one unearned run. So he left with no blemish on his ERA. ERA still a perfect 0 for Ryan Murphy. He'll get back at it later this week at the diamond. Tristan Verling pitching for Somerset yesterday held the Squirrels scoreless over five innings with six strikeouts. So we're back home now. Squirrels are 1-2, one win, two losses. We'll be at the diamond yesterday, or tomorrow. We weren't at the diamond yesterday. Nobody was at the diamond yesterday. We'll be there tomorrow. Dennis Pelfrey, Pelf, the manager, will be on the show, the head nut of,
nice.
the Flying Squirrels.
Ooh, the head nut.
Very special guest for a very special show as we count down opening night. A reminder, opening night at the Diamond is sold out. You can't be there, but you can attend the rest of the week. They'll play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a long season, folks. You got a lot of chances to see them. So if you miss tomorrow's opening night with in-your-face fireworks, get out there later this week. Lots of fun promotions to be had. Always a good time out there at the Diamond. Always a good time with that sounder. I mean, that's
if that doesn't
get you amped up, I don't know what's going to get you amped up. The basketball game last night got me amped up. We'll dive into that. We'll hear some more from Caitlin Clark in a while. But baseball can't go 4 minutes without a controversy. And yesterday we had a particularly delightful one. I think I'm a baseball guy. I'm deep into baseball at all times. But for those of you who aren't, I don't think people realize all the little weird idiosyncrasies of baseball. One of which is there's a guy up in the press box who makes the decisions about how plays are scored. He's the official scorer. You know, that's an error, that's a hit, that's whatever it is. And his call goes. And so the managers sometimes from the dugout will pick up the phone in the dugout, call the scorer, and like yell at him over what they perceive to be a bad decision. Because the umpires, they have no discretion over this at all. It's just the guy up in the box. Sometimes, though, they can go back and change the call later. Like Major League Baseball, just as an entity, can be like, a couple weeks ago, remember that thing? It's not a hit anymore. Which is not really how other sports work at all. So Nolan Schnaul of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim had reached base in all 36 games he's played in the major leagues. All 36 games he's been on base. He's going for the MLB record of 38. And then baseball on Friday said, hey, remember that time you got a hit on March 30th? Actually, funny story, that's an error. Didn't happen. He now has not reached base in every game because 2 weeks ago it turned out he didn't get a hit. The Angels announcers were calm and rational in discussing this situation.
Negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of constant pitcher injuries, and yet not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reached base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about all the positivity from all over the social media world, how it pressed everybody to start your career. He was this in college last year. He was still playing college baseball at this point. And then to have that taken away on a base hit. It was a base hit.
It was a clear hit. It wasn't even really a borderline call. It was a clear base hit.
Yeah, like I said in the pregame show, the NBA doesn't take an assist away from LeBron James. He's got a triple-double, and he's trying to add on that record. It just doesn't happen.
Baseball, the number one sport at getting in its own way at all times. Although the NCAA tried their hardest this month, tried to torpedo that women's tournament. Couldn't do it. Too much talent. Couldn't torpedo it. Tried their best, though. Painting the three-point lines wrong, doing their things. But MLB, he mentioned the jerseys. The jerseys, to me, are the funniest one. They switched jersey suppliers this year. They're going with Fanatics now. That's the big global company that this is like. This is America right now in 2024. They got powerful not by having the best product, but by buying out all the other companies and buying the exclusive rights to jerseys and merchandise. Everybody hates Fanatics. They're terrible. Like, you order a jersey and it's like it'll be misspelled or it'll be the wrong size. Their customer service is terrible. Universally poor reviews. It's just a rich guy who bought out the rights to everything, and he's the only guy who can make jerseys now. So if you don't like it, kiss his butt. That's it. And they're moving into sports gambling now. I mean, just, if you have money, you can make you can make more money off of it. So they bought the license to make Major League Baseball jerseys this year. And there was the controversy in spring training where the white pants were see-through. You could see could see the players, you know, what they're wearing underneath the pants. So that wasn't great. So on Friday, the teams wear like Friday they alternate jerseys, you know, like fun city jerseys. The Brewers didn't wear theirs because they hadn't arrived because Fanatics hadn't made them yet. The announcer's right though. Like, you don't go back and change something that happened 2 weeks ago to destroy a great storyline. And that's such a baseball move. Like, hey, 2 weeks ago this thing happened, so actually let's not have fun anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know this thing everybody's enjoying? Let's not do that. That's
From my minimal experience with baseball, that sounds like baseball.
Hazel, is rugby heating up over here?
I don't understand. It was like a group plank. They just all... I don't get it.
It's Monday fun day, so we put rugby on the television because DC's got a rugby team now. Old Glory DC. Up 22-17 in this replay. You know what the beauty of the rugby replay is? I don't know who won, so it's fresh for me. Sometimes they'll come in here, there'll be a Wizards game on, and AWOD will walk in and be like, oh, this is where, you know, so-and-so does this. Hey, it's fresh to me.
Yeah.
I slept through it. Watch it live. You could do that. We talked about that with the Masters, because Zach McHugh, our boss, came in. He's like, oh, I just miss taking a nap to the Masters so much. Watch every Masters. No clue what happened at any of them.
The
azaleas are in bloom. We'll go to the 15th.
I mean, that's what they want you to do.
I'm out. It's best nap of the year right there. That's soothing. They could sell that soundtrack and make millions. There's a Spotify playlist there. Forget the Eclipse playlist. We're going for the Masters playlist. We got one more segment. We'll hear from Caitlin Clark, who is not a women's basketball champion. She'll leave Iowa without a title, but she's basically everything else. Collected all those honors along the way, how she'll do at the next level, and what's next for her. On the other side, you're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Oh, now this is more like it.
There you go.
It's time for sports.
It's time for MP on the mic.
All right, listen up, class.
Okay. 11 o'clock hour number two, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the free Odyssey app. The Monday Fun Day is crew is here. Megan is here. Hazel is here. MP here on the mic. Michael Phillips, thank you for joining us. Megan now on the ones and the twos here.
I am.
We've gone this whole show without mentioning that it's Hazel's birthday, but
happy birthday, Hazel!
It's Hazel's birthday.
I don't have the
Eclipse
right
Day. Unbelievable. Of all the days, it's Eclipse Day. Like, that's the ultimate right
there. I know.
Absolutely.
Even the universe was like, happy birthday,
well,
Hazel.
Congratulations.
That's the best I had off the top of my head.
I'm not sure that captures the tone of our love and appreciation for Hazel quite right, but it's something.
Okay,
it's,
look, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Well, we really threw you in this.
Y'all threw me in this. Yeah. So I was like sitting over in my chair and I'm chilling, right? And I totally forgot.
Just mind your business.
We have this thing where I do like the second half of the show, like when I'm in here, and yeah. I just totally blanked on it. And all of a sudden Hazel's like, hey, you want to do it? And just like walks away, and I'm like, oh, I'm on
10:59 and 58 seconds. Like, this is your hour, right? Oh, yeah.
Right out.
Oh, yeah.
I had to literally run to the mic.
Sprint to the mic. We are on the mic for the next hour. AWOD takes over at noon. He's live at Capitol Ale House. It's burger night down there. Eclipse burger night. I mean, just all the good things happening. I said we'd dive into men's basketball, and we will. It takes a lot to overshadow, to eclipse the national championship game. And yet, John Calipari has pulled that off. He is leaving Kentucky, reportedly. ESPN says he's in the final stages of negotiations to become the next coach at Arkansas. He's kind of skipping around the southeast there from Kentucky to Arkansas. On the one hand, one step ahead of the cops, right? You know, he was about to get fired. He gets spared by the executioners after this season, after losing to Oakland, the 14 seed in the NCAA tournament. He said, nah, I'm out of here. You can't fire me. I quit. I'm off to Arkansas, which I don't think is going to bother the Kentucky people, although it is late in the game. I'll be very curious who they get. The Kentucky people, that's a delusional fan base. Now, we're all delusional fan bases. Everybody, if you're a fan, you're a little delusional, right? Anytime there's a coaching opening, my favorite thing to do is to go look at the message boards, be like, who do they want, right? You know, when the Commander's coaching job comes open, it's, well, we'll get Sean McVay back from L.A., or, you know, we'll go get LaFleur, or, you know, all these guys. Like, we'll probably get Mike Tomlin from the Steelers. Just call the Steelers, offer them like a 6th-round draft pick, and they'll send us Mike Tomlin. Right? That's fans. That's fans. You think your job is the best job. Kentucky people, I mean, their list is going to be like John Wooden hologram resurrected and coaching the basketball. I would assume Dan Hurley's going to be number one on their list. I would assume Dan Hurley is going to spend exactly 4 seconds taking that phone call from the Kentucky AD. He's got it good at UConn. Don't mess with that to go play in Kentucky. They'll turn on you. They'll turn on you quickly, as John Calipari can vouch. Congrats to Kenny Brooks, former Virginia Tech women's basketball coach, now the longest tenured basketball coach at the University of Kentucky, making things happen. Kentucky, I mean, they spend on their programs, and Kenny Brooks, third highest paid coach in the SEC, right, behind LSU and South Carolina, of course, Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey. He's number three. Kentucky's going to give a lot of money to somebody to go be the basketball coach there. I'm very curious who that'll end up being. That's a tough job. A lot of pressure coming with that one. Louisville turning over as well. A lot of turmoil in Kentucky there, two of the flagship programs for sports. But for Calipari, he ends up at Arkansas, gets a loaded roster, will have all the money he wants. He's still in the SEC, still has that SEC money. Absolutely chance to build something there. I'm not betting against him. I don't think that, you know, the Hurleys of the world are going to entertain that call from Kentucky. I think that's a little too dangerous of a job to take. Men's title game tonight, 9:20 tip off. We've groused about this, so I'll make it my last grouse about this. The women's game started at 3, perfect time. Got to watch, got to have dinner afterward. The kids got to watch. Great time. Now it's Monday. I'm not saying they should start at 3:00. That's ridiculous. But there's a lot of hours between 5:00 getting off time and 9:20 p.m. 9:20 p.m. is aggressive for a national title game. Has been ever since. I mean, I remember that UVA game going to overtime when they beat Texas Tech 5 years ago today. UVA lost to the 16 seed the year before, won the national title the next year. Purdue tonight lost to the 16 seed last year, playing for the national title tonight against UConn. They are not getting as much of a chance as UVA got leading into that game. I think most people think this is going to be a UConn show. This is the first team UConn's played, though, that has a path to victory that isn't hope you get lucky or hope UConn doesn't make shots and then maybe you can win. There's a legitimate path to victory for Purdue, where if UConn plays their best game, if they play well, Purdue can still beat them, can still win the game. And it starts with Zach Edey, of course. It starts on the offensive boards. Anytime there's a big story in sports and it's always like, this is the thing, then by the time we get to the game, because they're so long, the storyline ends up being, everybody's talking about the thing, but do you know about the other thing? So, right, Zach Edey, Purdue, he's very tall. Donovan Klingon, UConn, also very tall. Two of the great big men in the game. Battle of the big men. But all the stories this morning, you read them and they're like, actually, this game will be decided on the perimeter. Actually, the guards are an important matchup in this game. I'm not here to tell you the guards aren't an important matchup. I'm just here to tell you, tonight we're there to watch the big men. Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon, going head-to-head. Great matchup down in the paint. It is hard to pick against UConn, and I'll keep riding with them tonight as I have all tournament. That's a machine. They've been rolling. They get whatever motivation they need to get, the chip on their shoulder at all times. Both teams 28-3. Both teams seeded number one. This is the one we've been waiting for. I thought UConn-Auburn was going to be a good game. Then Auburn lost to Yale, so that didn't happen. But this is their first real test of the tournament. Line started at 6. It's now 7.5 already. People love UConn in this one. I do, too. I understand why. Right, there's always, anytime you have a line that moves like that, you're always like, okay, you know what? UConn, the line's been moving the whole tournament. Like, at some point it'll end. I don't know when it's going to end for these guys. These guys have been absolutely steamrolling people. Yesterday during the press conference, Dan Hurley, UConn coach, said the wake-up call for his team was before the season started. They did a closed-door preseason scrimmage against UVA, University of Virginia, and they, quote, got hammered by the Cavaliers. Hang the banner. We hammered the national champs in a preseason closed-door scrimmage. That's what UVA's got to hang their hats on. They were the joke at the beginning of the tournament, couldn't score a point. Man, if we just had the tournament back in November, could have beat the number one team in America. Hammered them in a closed-door scrimmage. I'd be very curious both how accurate that statement is, but also the story of UVA's season, right, where they had talent, couldn't quite put it together. Then maybe it looked like they didn't have talent, went back to having talent, never quite connected the dots. But I think we're at the point. There was that right after there was all that speculation, right? Is Tony Bennett going to bounce? Not is Tony Bennett going to get fired. Tony Bennett was never going to get fired from UVA. But all the speculation, right? Will he leave? Is he done with this? And certainly a lot of external factors right now. You hear about Calipari going to Arkansas. They're going to offer him $5 million a year in NIL money to spend on players, right? That's insane. And Tony Bennett is probably not built for that world in a lot of ways. So you say, yeah, maybe he bounces. I think we're at the point now, April 8th, few weeks after the season. I think he's there. I think he's staying there. I think he'll roll it back for another year. I also think he's not incapable of fielding a transfer team that wins and has success. I think he just prefers not to. But I think he could. I think Tony Bennett's got it in him for sure. Pro news over the weekend, the Washington Wizards folks have officially clinched the worst record in franchise history. Last night, they were playing the Toronto Raptors. They were down 42-17 after the first quarter of play. That's hard to do. Congrats to the Washington Wizards. Worst season in franchise history. And what a season. That's actually, well, congratulations right there. Worst season in franchise history for the Washington Wizards.
That's a record.
Yes, scored the fewest points. Congratulations.
Congratulations for being really bad.
Capitals lost to Ottawa yesterday in overtime. This playoff momentum has been coming to a screeching halt for the last few weeks, and never more so than this weekend. Had Carolina on the ropes, had Ottawa on the ropes. Couldn't get the job done either time. And so the Capitals, last time we checked in with them, had a 72% chance of making the playoffs. Couple bad losses over the weekend. Capitals now 25.8% chance of making the playoffs. So that's fading quickly. As you know, it doesn't bother me all that much as long as Ovechkin's getting some goals. Let him get the offseason to rest. This team isn't ready to make noise in the playoffs. Ovechkin got two against Carolina. That's a good weekend. Get Ovechkin his. Get the team out. Get them rested up. There's a lot coming on the horizon that's really bright for them. They've got a ton of draft picks over the next few years. Some great kids waiting. They got Frozen Four this week. The Boston College star is coming up to the Caps after. A lot of bright stuff on the horizon. No need to get swept out of the first round of the playoffs by one of the best teams. Steven Strasburg officially retires in Washington. All I can say on that is thank goodness that has finally been resolved. The dispute here, right? Steven Strasburg is not, his arm's so messed up, he's never going to be able to play Major League Baseball again. They had come to an agreement, right? He still owed the money from his contract. Apparently, the Lerners said, well, if he's still under contract, make him do things. I'm glad that got settled because it's the fifth anniversary of the World Series. You need to get that World Series team in, celebrate them properly. It's a franchise legend, and you need to make sure he goes out in style and with dignity and all those things. So very happy to see the Steven Strasburg retirement news officially announced. Not making him go through the charade of having to go rehab every year at spring training and pretend like he's working towards a comeback that we all know is never going to happen. So sometimes it just takes a little longer than you expect to get to the right outcome. That's what happened here. Steven Strasburg, official retirement in Washington, absolutely the right outcome. We have the Flying Squirrels update. This will be our second one. Now, they played a lot of baseball over the weekend. Luckily, we got Megan here. She's the expert I've got the box scores here. We'll do that on the other side as we count down to tomorrow. We'll be at the Diamond tomorrow, live. Opening day with the Flying Squirrels. I'll be out there. AWOT will be out there. 5 hours, alive and local. Taking you up to Flying Squirrels home opener. They're 1-2 after a weekend set up in New Jersey. We'll tell you all about that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.